Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. And Greg, last week was a big week for some former Nittany Lions who entered the NFL draft. I just wanted to get your take on what happened in the draft with those Penn State players. Let's start at the top, where we had Micah Parsons go number 12. We had Jason Owe sneak into the first round, and we had Pat Freiermuth go in the second round. I think at least at that point, with those three players, they've got to be thrilled with where they went in the draft.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Jim. You know, we'll start at the top with Micah Parsons. Obviously, I think everyone thought he could be a top 15 pick. And when Denver came up there just inside of the top 10, it made sense that that could have been an option. But they went with Patrick Surtain, the corner out of Alabama, which is certainly a fine way to go if you're the Broncos. So it was a shrewd move then by Dallas, which decided to move back a couple of picks, I think knowing pretty well and pretty comfortably that Micah Parsons would still be there, and they picked up some future, they picked up some other draft assets for that swap with the Eagles, which you don't see every day. So that was unique. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good fit there. There's no question that Sean Lee retiring is going to, make people now talk about can Micah Parsons, continue that Penn State legacy that's been left in Dallas with Sean Lee. So they have some pretty good linebackers already there for Micah to learn from. Obviously, they're going to move him around a good bit and have him do a little bit of everything. But I think it's a good landing spot for him. I think he'll fit in well in Dallas and vice versa. And, you know, maybe didn't go quite as early as everyone thought, but still, to me, Jim, it was right around where we figured he would go, which tells me that all the talk leading up to the draft about character concerns and off-field issues and blah, blah, blah really weren't the kind of problem that, that everyone tried to make it out to be the days prior to the draft.
Yeah, that just seemed all along like a lot of smokescreen from a lot of people. And I had mentioned this earlier in the week with Dustin. That's unfortunate for the player to have that kind of stuff dug up and thrown out there. It's one thing even if it's valid, but if it's just like you see with these NFL teams, so much of it is just smoke. I didn't appreciate that. I didn't like it. And good for Micah that he went number 12, even though it is to the hated Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to Jason Owe. This was the guy who had the freakish numbers at Penn State's pro day. And it came down to, would teams be convinced by all that potential, or are they going to keep looking at production and say, this is not a first-round defensive end? Obviously, the Ravens thought he was worthy of a first-round pick.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. And now he goes by a different name, so that's worth noting as well. I don't know if you came across that over the weekend, but he told reporters after the Baltimore Ravens picked him that he wants to go by Odafe Owe, which is his original first name, his given first name. He went by Jason at high school and at Penn State because he thought people would have too much trouble pronouncing his given name. But now he said that, you know, anyone who wants to talk to him and call him by his first name is going to have to learn it. So that's why I think some people were confused when they woke up Friday morning and saw some things, because they're thinking, who, I've heard of this Owe guy, but who's Odafe Owe? And that's where that all came from. So yeah, I mean, you know, we all thought that a team might fall in love with him and pick him in the first round. I'll be real honest with you, Jim, I did not see that coming. I thought for sure he'd be a high day two guy, but I was just a little skeptical that somebody would take him at the back half of the first round. But to Baltimore's credit, they think he's a guy with almost unlimited potential who can come in and be a star right away. And if they're right, I mean, they're going to get maybe one of the bigger steals of the draft, his athleticism and his ability to get to the pass rusher and things like that really start to stand out here at the next level. So yeah, to me, I just think that this is a fine, a fine get for Baltimore and a good fit for Jason. And I do think that it'll take some time for us to call him Odafe, but we will get around to that. We promise. And you know, it's a shame that he felt that way too, because I think it's a pretty reasonable name to pronounce it. You know, everyone would have been able to get their head around how he wanted to do that sooner, but he did it now that he's in the pros. And you know, we'll see how things play out for him in the AFC North, where he and Trace McSorley reunite in Baltimore.
And if you and I are able to pronounce it, how difficult could it be? We're the ones who stumble over every other name, it seems.
Yes.
And I do believe with him, the zero sacks things from last season was really overstated. It was a shortened season to begin with. He missed a few games. If anyone has watched him play over the last couple seasons, you saw that raw ability. You can see what's there. It's really fortunate for him to go to a like Baltimore, the Ravens, a really good organization that could probably maximize his skills. You could end up sometimes in just the wrong program where it doesn't fit. It doesn't work for you. I think very good for him getting into the first round and getting with a program like the Ravens. The guy in the second round was Pat Freiermuth. It's been real quiet with him over the last couple months pre-draft. I know he was coming off of the injury. He didn't, at pro day, he was there, but didn't do everything, which I thought might hurt his stock a bit. But he still got a second round draft status. Again, nice program to go to, going to the Steelers. I think that worked out very well for him.
Yeah, I do too, Jim. And, you know, he told reporters afterwards, Chris Adamski from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review tweeted some things from his post selection call with reporters. And he said he's been cleared for about 2 or 3 weeks now, which is about the timeline I think that he gave us at Penn State Pro Day in terms of when he'd be able to do full things again. And, you know, the Steelers make a lot of sense, Jim, because I don't know how many people are aware of this, but Mike Tomlin, the head coach, Kevin Colbert, the GM, and the tight ends coach, whose name escapes me at the moment, all were in State College for Penn State's pro day, and the tight ends coach kind of put Freiermuth through all of the work that he was able to do on the field. So they had maybe the best feel of anyone for this guy. He had told us, Pat Freiermuth, that he was hearing a lot from the Steelers after pro day. So it was a whole bunch of foreshadowing and things that made sense. And now, you know, I think if you're Penn State, you're very happy with that Penn State to Pittsburgh connection, rather. That certainly isn't going to help matters, or hurt matters, rather, in the recruiting world. And if you're Pat Freiermuth, you go to a place where you know they value the tight end, where Eric Ebron's under contract for just one more season, as far as I know, and you have a chance to kind of slide into a pretty big role pretty quickly.
So that worked out well at the top of the draft for those players. Now, I'll go the other way. Michael Mennett and Shaka Tony both had to wait to the seventh round to hear their names called out. That surprised me that it took to the seventh round for them to be picked. Were you surprised also?
It was, yes, very much so. I thought Shaka, I did not agree with some of the thought out there that he could go day two late. I just didn't see that, but I thought he'd be off the board in the fourth or fifth round for sure. And, you know, it was certainly from a work perspective, it was kind of crazy to not have any of those guys go, and then all of a sudden they go boom, 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 back to back to back with the last handful of picks in the seventh round. But it was good for all of them. You know, I did think Shaka Tony would go sooner. I guess that, you know, the fact that he's a little bit of a tweener scared some teams away, but I don't know. I think he's going to be more productive than a seventh round pick. That was a pretty big shock to me. You know, with Michael Mennett, I just think that if you kind of been following along here, he had some kind of an injury that required surgery, according to the Reading Eagle, that really kind of kept him away from a lot of the pre-draft stuff, I believe. And while he probably went and got checked out in Indy back when they did the medical stuff long, you know, recently before the draft, I just can't help but wonder if they, you know, if too many teams had a question about his health which is what led him to fall so far. And then, you know, with Will Fries, it's great to see him get a chance. I was not sure he was going to actually be drafted, so that was a surprise in a good way. And then Lamont Wade signs as an undrafted free agent with the Steelers, and, you know, gets back to his Clareton roots. So I think that that Penn State really did well in this draft. And, you know, again, I don't know when the next time is that we'll see three Penn State guys picked back to back to back. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, that was wild how that worked out. And I'm with you. I really thought that Shaka Toney, Michael Mennett also might have gone earlier, maybe in that fourth or fifth round. What I wonder too, Greg, when you talk the NFL draft, there seems to be these little items that get attached to a player. You know, it was with Micah Parsons, it's the off-the-field issues. With Jason Owe, it was zero sacks in his senior year. It seemed like Shaka Toney, it was his size. Michael Mennett, it was his arm length.
Yep. And, you know, again, there is always one thing that people cling to. You're right, Jim. Sometimes it's a reasonable thing. Sometimes it doesn't feel quite so reasonable. But you are correct that there's always one that there seems to be always one that that everyone clings to, good, bad, or otherwise, to make a case for, you know, for not drafting a guy or why he could fall or things like that. So, you know, for me, I just think that those two guys both have every opportunity to outperform where they went in the draft. They ended up with good landing spots, and time will tell how things work out. You know, everyone just needs a chance. I think Shaka Toney told reporters that after he was picked, that everyone just needs a chance. You have to get on to a team first before you can make a team's roster. So those guys were able to get that again, back to back to back. And now we'll see how things shake out from here.
Now, it was interesting too. I thought Shaka Toney would go higher and Michael Mennett. And I was with you about Will Fries. I wasn't sure he would get drafted. In fact, I was a little bit surprised that he was. What do you think put him, I'll call it, over the top to get drafted? Was it simply his versatility, that he could play both guard and tackle?
I think so, yeah. I just think the fact that he's, and to me, I think he's a guard all the way at the next level. But, you know, the fact that he could play both and fill in for, in a pinch on either a practice squad or, you know, a game day preparation kind of a thing. I just think that he's a smart football player. He's a guy who's kind of been thrown under the bus and been made a scapegoat at times. But you look how many games he started and how much football he played at Penn State, Jim. You don't play that many games in the Big Ten as a starter unless you're doing something right. And I know that, again, a lot of people want to blame him for a lot of the problems. But I did feel like once they moved him to guard, he really kind of found a home and found a knack for things and was really a solid football player. And that's not to say he wasn't when he was a tackle, but he just seemed to be a little bit better suited at times to play guard, which is why the NFL, I think, is looking at him there. So, yeah, I do think that's what pushed them over the edge to pick him, no question about it.
And when you put him on an island against Chase Young all by himself,
right,
that's not a formula for success at tackle.
No.
So that quarter number two, you want to stick around. In quarter number three, that is your chance to send your questions in for Greg, and he will answer them on Penn State football and recruiting, and we call that segment Ask Greg. Stay tuned for that.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.